Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic will not adopt the euro in the foreseeable future, according to President Václav Klaus. An Austrian court has seized three Czech-owned modernist works of art in a protracted arbitration case. And some 23% of Czech managers consider bribery an acceptable way of gaining contracts, a new poll has shown. The Czech Republic won't adopt the common European currency in the foreseeable future, President Václav Klaus said on Tuesday. Speaking during an official visit to Belgium, Mr. Klaus added that he had for over two decades been warning against possible risks of introducing a common European currency in a very heterogeneous group of countries. The Czech Republic has set no definite benchmark for the adoption of the euro, although it is bound to introduce the single European currency by its EU accession treaty. This year, popular support for the move among Czechs sank to 43%, the lowest level since 2005. A court in the Austrian capital Vienna seized three Czech-owned modernist works of art in a protracted arbitration case against the Czech Republic, the Weekly Econom reported on Tuesday. The court upheld a claim made by the Swiss firm Diag Human. The company demands a compensation of around 9 billion crowns, or more than $500 million, from the Czech state for allegedly harming its blood plasma business in the country in the 1990s. In 2008, a court of arbitration ruled in favor of the firm, but Czech authorities say the decision has not yet come into force. A Diag Human lawyer said the Czech Republic has now 4 weeks to appeal the Viennese court's decision. Around 23% of Czech managers consider bribery a justifiable way of gaining and keeping contracts, according to a new Europe-wide poll by the Ernst & Young firm released on Tuesday. More than 50% of those polled also said unethical practices were acceptable to meet the company's financial goals under difficult economic circumstances. Some 5% of managers who took part in the survey said they were willing to lie about their company's performance in order not to undermine its growth. The results put Czechs in the middle of 25 European nations where the poll was conducted, along with Spaniards. The poll suggested that the European average was 18%. The chairman of the coalition Public Affairs Party, Radek Jón, has been re-elected to his post in an online party vote. Around 1,200 party members gave him their votes via the internet and mobile phones. The results were announced on Monday night. The head of the party's parliamentary group, Karolina Pík, came in a close second with 976 votes. She will be now appointed deputy chairwoman. After the vote, the re-elected leader said his party would no longer make concessions to its partners in the coalition cabinet. In the wake of a recent crisis within the Czech centre-right government, 2 out of 4 public affairs ministers resigned. The Brno-based tractor maker Zetor signed an 800 million crown deal with Iraq's state company for mechanical industry, a Zetor manager said on Tuesday. Under the contract, the Czech firm will supply 1,500 components to Iraq, where the tractors will be assembled. The Czech producer Zetor would like to re-establish itself on the Iraqi market. The firm estimates that around 60,000 old Zetor tractors are still in use in the country and has developed a new model for the region. The deal was sealed on the second day of Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas's visit to Iraq. The Czech Republic was also hoping to sell up to 24 of its L-159 jets to the Iraqi Air Force. And finally, a brief look at the weather. Nice weather with partly cloudy skies is set to continue until the end of the week, with daytime highs of around 25 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, the Public Affairs Party has re-elected its chairman, Radek Jón, but the mandate he's been given is being seen as a weak one. We'll be looking at developments in the issue of nuclear power on both sides of the Czech and German border. And later on in this week's Czech history, we'll meet the man who designed one of Prague's most visible structures, for better or worse, the Nuselé Bridge. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Public Affairs Chairman Radek Jón has been re-elected to his post following an online poll by party members. Mr. Jón received almost 1,200 votes via the internet, while the head of the party's parliamentary club, Karolina Pík, came in a close second. In many ways, the online election has left a lot to be desired, as surprisingly only some 40% of eligible supporters took part. A little earlier, Jan Wellinger spoke to political analyst Petr Just on how he saw the leader of the smallest coalition party's mandate.
The number of the 40% of the voters or the members of the Public Affairs Party is a kind of surprise for me, because I expected that the number will be much higher. And it's true that only 40% taking part, and Radek Jón receiving actually very low mandate out of all members who are eligible to vote, it's not any strong position for him in the future. So I think that this can't be declared fully as a victory of Radek Jón, because the victory could have been much higher.
And what are reasons or possible reasons why those who did vote opted for Radek Jón? I ask because the number of votes for Karolina Pík were actually very close, and she'll now become the deputy leader.
Or the gap between Radek Jón and Karolina Pík was very low. Actually, the difference was almost in the same level as the result of the third candidate, of Mrs. Navrátilová. So there is the question whether, for example, her possible dropout of the elections would, for example, help Karolina Pík or not to gain the position. But this is just a speculation, or this is just a hypothetical speculation. Radek Jón received a very low mandate, but still he's seen as the most visible person in the Public Affairs Party. The Public Affairs is a newly created party, or newly, the party who got just newly to the parliament has a lack of personalities who have a public attention, or who attract the public attention. And there was nobody else in the Public Affairs Party than Radek Jón, who's been a long time anchor in the TV Nova, and therefore having kind of popularity among the public. For every party, if you like it or not, it's very much important to have a personality upon which the voters can actually concentrate.
To come back to the point you raised, which you say is speculative, which is the number of votes Mrs. Navrátilová received, who came in third, she could still act as a spoiler, I suppose, because these votes haven't been confirmed yet by the party leadership, which they still have to do with the Congress, correct?
Yes, that's right. There will be a weekend convention where the party structures will actually confirm these results, but actually we don't expect any changes, and that the confirmation will be quite smooth.
Now, Mr. Jón re-elected as the party chairman, I think most would agree that he has a monumental task ahead, because public affairs has been hit by numerous scandals now, which has seen it plummet in the opinion polls. What does he have to do to turn things around, and can he be successful?
Well, I'm not sure if it's his role right now, because most of the cases are the personal cases connected with other members of the VV party or the Public Affairs Party, like Mr. Barta. And Mr. Barta, a few days ago, announced that he has the materials that would prove that he didn't commit anything wrong. So it's more a question that should be raised against Mr. Barta and for example, Mr. Babák, who is also a subject of few affairs or conflict. So I don't think that Mr. Jón is now in a position that he should solve it on behalf of these people. Of course, him as a party chairman will have to act on outside, act on the public by stating that the Public Affairs Party is stabilizing itself, and he will do it definitely, but still the major task is now in the hands of Mr. Barta and others.
That was political analyst Petr Just talking there to Jan Wellinger. This is Radio Prague. On Monday, the director of the International Energy Agency, Nobuo Tanaka, warned that by pressing ahead with its plan to phase out nuclear power, Germany was threatening European energy security. Meanwhile, the vice president of the Czech Energy Regulatory Office, Bohuslav Němečka, has predicted an increase of energy prices in the Czech Republic by 3.6 to 6% next year, and cites developments in Germany as an important factor in determining the future cost of energy. Earlier today, Sara Borůvka spoke about the issue with Václav Bartuška, the government's appointee to keep tabs on the expansion of the Temelín nuclear power plants in southern Bohemia, and the possibility of state power company ČEZ ordering a further 3 reactors. The following regards how a nuclear phase-out in Germany could affect the Czech Republic.
It is impossible at the moment to really say how the nuclear phase-out in Germany will play out in a broader European picture. I assume that it will be difficult, maybe even impossible, to replace the missing thousands of megawatts installed capacity in a short time. In the same time, I don't think that Germany wants to be in long term dependent on the imports of electricity, even from France and Czech Republic. So Germany will have to find a solution on its own soil.
What's your take on this, on yesterday's statement by Nobuo Tanaka from the IEA that Germany should not do this on its own accord but take into account the whole region?
We've been in contact with our German friends permanently, and we've been saying basically the same thing. The switch out of the 7+1 reactors in a short period after Fukushima was not consulted with any of the neighbors in advance. That wasn't really a good step. At the same time, we fully respect that the nuclear electricity is a sovereign issue of each member state of the EU. So we fully respect the German's right to decide whether it wants to be with nuclear or not. We just would like to be more informed about future steps in advance. That's all.
And in terms of the Czech expansion of Temelín and the Czech nuclear plants, what kind of effect would a German nuclear phase-out have on possible plans for that?
No impact. Honestly, we are building Temelín 3 and 4 for our own domestic needs because we have to replace some of the coal-fired power stations with new sources. And we see nuclear as a reliable, long-term and relatively inexpensive source of electricity, besides being clean. So there is no immediate impact on this. We don't expect that our position of being able to export some electricity, but not much, would change. We definitely don't build the money for export.
What possible solutions are there to basically the hole that will be left by the German nuclear phase-out? What, are there any alternatives, any ways to fill this hole in the region?
Well, Germany says it wants to build more renewables on its soil, as well as some gas-fired power stations, possibly also coal-fired. So we will see. But I would not use the word region, honestly. I think more and more what we need in Europe is really responsibility of each member state for its own electricity balance. And the present picture in which you have growing number of member states having not enough electricity and being reliant on imports is simply not sustainable in long term. So it's not just Germany, it's several other countries around us which will have to face the reality that they will have to build new installations simply to keep up with growing demand.
That was Government Advisor Václav Bartuška talking there to Sara Borůvka. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Now in today's feature presentation, Czech history, Jan Wellinger visits Prague's other famous bridge.
Welcome to Czech History, and for today's episode I've come here to Nuselský most, or Nusle Bridge, joining two parts of the city. Completed and opened in 1973, the bridge serves as a major artery for 6 lanes of north-south traffic, and even the city's metro. Every single day, countless thousands of commuters rely on it. But it is possible, of course, to walk across, and people do, using the two available sidewalks. It's noisy here, but the view is magnificent. In the distance you can see Vyšehrad, the seat of kings, Prague Castle, and all around the city. From up here in places, it's 40 meters down. What is Nuslebrtis history? To find out more, I talked to the man who designed it, the architect Stanislav Hubička.
The idea to build a bridge over Nuslé Valley, connecting Pankrac Plain with Prague's Karlov, goes back to the First Republic, and from as way back as 1933 it was clear the bridge would serve mass and public transport. It was conceived from the start that the bridge would have a section originally for trams and later for the metro to travel across.
A že bude jezdit metrotubusem, to bylo už daný 33. roce.
The very first plans for a bridge over the valley go back even earlier, to the turn of the 20th century. In 1903, engineer Yaroslav Marienko, for example, proposed a steel design for the almost half-kilometer span. But it was not until the late 1950s that the issue was tackled head-on, in answer to the rise of new development and housing on Pankrac Plain. As the number of developments grew, so did the need for a major new bridge, and it happened the design by Svatopluk Kobr, Vojtěch Michálek and Stanislav Hubička was chosen.
Mě bylo 30 roku. Proč jsem se k tomu dostal? Jsem se k tomu dostal, protože jsem předtím dva roky vyhrál první cenu na...
I was only 30. I was chosen for the project because 2 years prior I had won the first prize for the design of the Opera House in Ostrava, a solo project 5 years after completing my studies. Of course, you have an enormous team of people on such an undertaking. You sort of have to get things underway and make sure that the project meets expectations. The structure had to sing, so to speak, not groan. I had a lot of help, and I focused largely on the design of the columns, the supports, and the underside of the bridge.
Aby to zpívalo a ne aby to hůňalo, že? No, a i na ten podlet, který, a hlavně na opěry.
The plan was to construct the bridge of reinforced concrete. Though grey and somewhat grim, the enormous structure even today appears to soar. It is impressive, not oppressive, in large part thanks to a row of twin columns which support it. Stanislav Hubička says that was an essential part of the design, that the massive bridge should not feel overbearing, but light, far above. The architect once again.
I came up with a lot of ideas, and basically we agreed that the row of twin support columns would diverge at an angle as they rose up, funnel-shaped. The design was basically inspired by branches in nature, open, subtle, allowing light and shadow through, thin in the areas where they bore the greatest weight. It is this balance between the span of the bridge and the light columns which creates drama and tension. For me, that was very exciting.
Construction of the bridge began in 1965, but there were some major modifications along the way. Key changes were introduced, as it happens, as a direct result of Cold War politics. Original metro cars based on an effective Swedish design were replaced by much heavier Soviet-built trains. And this caused no end of engineering problems, which were a real sore spot, the architect says.
Tak přišla zpráva od sovětské expertizy, že se nebude používat...
Soviet experts decided that Russian trains would be used. We had designed the bridge and the tunnel inside to carry a light Swedish carriage, and our own Čekaj Dej made an even better variation. And then the news came, Russian carriages would be used. They were twice as heavy and had a lower chassis, meaning the whole design of the platform had to be changed.
Ty vozy byly těžký a rozdíl podvozku snižoval nástupiště na těch vytvořených předpokladech o 70 cm.
But by 1973 the bridge was ready. It was 25 years after the communist putsch of February 1948, which the communists exploited to their full advantage. But before it could be put into use, the bridge, originally named after the first communist president Clement Gottwald, had to be properly tested. That, Stanislav Hubička says, is a fascinating chapter in itself.
Ta začínávací zkouška je dvýho druhu, jo? A to na statické zatížení a na dynamické.
Heavy load tests were conducted, both static and dynamic. The static test saw more than 60 tanks weighing 35 tons each driven onto the bridge and parked in rows along the sides. Then trucks brought in 3,000 tons of sand and gravel, and that's not all. After this test, the tanks were driven back and forth, a full 600 times. There were sensors hooked up to a laboratory desk to measure the impact. You want to know what the maximum sag under all that weight was? 16.5 millimeters, a mere seventh of what was allowed. After that, dynamic tests were conducted by firing rockets off the bridge. I have a photograph of one exploding in the air. So that was it. The bridge did very well. It passed with flying colors.
Dynamické zatížení. A to se dělalo pomocí raket, které se umístily na určitý místa a ty se odpalovaly. Mám fotky, jak ta raketa vybuchla.
One sobering element in its history is that Nusle Bridge soon became a magnet for suicide jumpers, something the architect says no one on the team ever foresaw. Over the years, hundreds of people leapt to their deaths below, before a tall fence was erected to dissuade others. More effective was an overarching metal strip which is practically impossible to get over. When the strips first went up, TV stations showed seasoned rock climbers unable to get more than a leg over, proving that for most, even trying would be a futile task. And that had a positive effect. Nusle Bridge, as it was renamed in 1990, is not a typical Prague wonder, but it is well worth seeing, and the view is fantastic. As architect Stanislav Hubička says, it'll still be here after many of us are gone, lasting a full 100 years.
That's the benefit of reinforced concrete. 2 years ago I read there were some concerns about the material and material fatigue and so on, but they confirmed that the worries were unfounded. 100 years is guaranteed.
A bylo řečeno, že stoletá životnost je zaručena.
That was architect Stanislav Hubička, designer of the Nusle Bridge, ending that edition of Czech History by Jan Wellinger. Topping off our show today is the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music, and brought to you on this occasion by Daniela Lazarova.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's language course in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is sung by Hanna Zagorová and it's called Perný den, which is the phrase to listen up for today. Perný den, sluníčko a na děve, ty však samý zmatky son. Srdce ti buší, hlava ta ti puká jen von. Perný den is the Czech expression for hectic day, although you may also hear it called hektický den. No need to say where that came from. And there are plenty of ways to express that depending on who you're talking to. For formal conversations, you can use mám nabitý den, my day is full, or mám plný diář, my diary is full, or else mám velmi napilno, I am extremely busy. Have another listen. Now, if you're talking to a friend, you can use a more colourful expression. For instance, mám dnes blázinec means my day is a madhouse. Mám fofr suggests I can't stop to chat, I'm in a rush. Mám to dnes naknap, my schedule is stretched to the limit, means I can't take on anything more. And dneska si máknu means I will have to work in high gear today. Other typical Czech expressions that you may find rather perplexing are nevím, kde mi hlava stojí, I don't know where my head is, nevím, kam skočit, is easier to figure out and means I don't know which way to jump first. Lítám jako hadr na holi translates as I'm flying back and forth like a rag on a broomstick, referring to cleaning up when the rag goes back and forth non-stop. Or something which is likely to be totally incomprehensible to foreigners. Lítám jako fretka. I'm running back and forth like a ferret. Just a Czech saying. Don't ask me why. And finally, if you've had a really trying day, it could leave you utahani jako kůň, tired as a horse, or totálně vyšťavený, completely out of juice. Definitely time for a rest. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
That was Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. Contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.